I wish to sleep. I know now why you do what you do, and I hate you for it. I will not speak of the truths I see.
Dated Kakasha, 1173, 142 seconds pre-death. A Shin sailor, left behind by his crew, reportedly for bringing them ill luck. Sample largely useless.
You see?
Layton turned the piece of carapace over in his hands.
If we carve it up at the edge, it encourages a blade, or in this case an arrow, to deflect away from their face. Wouldn't want to spoil that pretty grin of yours.
Kaladin smiled, taking back the piece of armor. Layton had carved it expertly, putting in holes for leather straps to affix it to the jerkin. The chasm was cold and dark at night. With the sky hidden, it felt like a cavern. Only the occasional sparkle of a star high above revealed otherwise.
How soon can you have them done?
All five? Oh, by the end of the night, likely. The real trick was discovering how to work it. Amazing stuff. Nearly as hard as steel, but half the weight. Hard to cut or break, but if you drill, shapes easily.
Good, because I don't want five sets. I want one for each man in the crew.
Layton raised an eyebrow.
If they're going to start letting us wear armor, everyone gets a suit. Except Shen, of course.
Matal had agreed to let them leave him behind on the bridge runs. He wouldn't even look at Kaladin now.
All right, then. Better give me some help, though.
You can use the wounded men. We'll cart out as much carapace as we can find.
His success had translated to an easier time for Bridge 4. Kaladin had pled that his men needed time to find carapace, and Hashal, not knowing any better, had reduced the scavenging quota. She was already pretending, quite smoothly, that the armor had been her idea the entire time and was ignoring the question of where it had come from in the first place. When she met Kaladin's eyes, however, he saw worry. What else would he try? So far, she hadn't dared remove him, not while he brought her so much praise from Sadeus.
How did an apprentice armorer end up as a bridgeman anyway? Craftsmen don't usually get thrown away.
When a piece of armor breaks and a light eyes takes an arrow in the shoulder, someone has to take the blame. I'm convinced my master keeps an extra apprentice, especially for those kinds of situations.
Well, his loss is our good fortune. You're going to keep us alive.
I'll do my best, sir. Can't do much worse on the armor than you did yourself, though. It's amazing that breastplate didn't fall off halfway through.
Kaladin patted the bridge man on the shoulder, then left him to his work, surrounded by a small ring of topaz chips. Kaladin had gotten permission to bring them, explaining his men needed light to work on the armor. Nearby, Lopin, Rock, and Dabid were returning with another load of salvage. Syl zipped ahead, leading them. Kaladin walked down the chasm, a garnet sphere looped in a small leather carrier at his belt for light. The chasm branched here, making a large triangular intersection, a perfect place for spear training. Wide enough to give the men room to practice, yet far enough from any permanent bridges that scouts weren't likely to hear echoes. Kaladin gave the initial instructions each day, then let Teft lead the practice. The men worked by sphere light, small piles of diamond chips at the corners of the intersection, barely enough to see by.
Never thought I'd envy those days practicing beneath the hot sun back in Amaram's army.
He walked up to Gap-toothed Haber and corrected his stance, then showed him how to set his weight behind his spear thrusts. The bridgemen were progressing quickly, and the fundamentals were proving their merit. Some were training with the spear and the shield, practicing stances where they held lighter spears up behind the head with the shield raised. The most skilled were Scar and Moash. In fact, Moash was surprisingly good. Kaladin walked to the side, watching the hawk-faced man. He was focused, eyes intense, jaw set. He moved in attack after attack, the dozen spheres giving him an equal number of shadows. Kaladin remembered feeling such dedication. He'd spent a year like that, after Tien's death, driving himself to exhaustion each day, determined to get better, determined never to let another person die because of his lack of skill. He'd become the best in his squad, then the best in his company. Some said he'd been the best spearman in Amaran's army. What would have happened to him if Tara hadn't coaxed him out of his single-minded dedication? Would he have burned himself out, as she'd claimed?
Moash.
Moash paused, turning toward Kaladin. He didn't fall out of stance. Kaladin waved him to approach, and Moash reluctantly trotted over.
You're getting good. You're probably the best we have.
Thanks.
I've noticed you keep training when Teft lets the other men take breaks. Dedication is good. Don't work yourself ragged. I want you to be one of the decoys.
Moash smiled broadly. Each of the men had volunteered to be one of the four who would join Kaladin, distracting the Parshendi. It was amazing. Months ago, Moash, along with the others, had eagerly placed the new or the weak at the front of the bridge to catch arrows. Now, to a man, they volunteered for the most dangerous jobs.
Do you realize what you could have in these men, Sadeus? You weren't so busy thinking of how to get them killed? So what is it for you? Why do you work so hard? What is it you hunt?
Vengeance.
I lost someone once, because I wasn't good enough with a spear. I nearly killed myself practicing.
Who was it?
My brother.
Moash nodded. The other bridge men, Moash included, seemed to regard Kaladin's mysterious past with reverence.
I'm glad I trained, and I'm glad you're dedicated. But you have to be careful. If I'd gotten myself killed by working so hard, it wouldn't have meant anything.
Sure. But there's a difference between us, Kaladin.
Kaladin raised an eyebrow.
You wanted to be able to save someone. Me? I want to kill somebody.
Who?
Maybe I'll say, someday. I'd surrendered my plans, but you've returned them to me. I'll guard you with my life, Kaladin. I swear it to you, by the blood of my fathers.
All right, then. Go help Hopper and Yake. They're still off on their thrusts.
Moash jogged off to do as told. He didn't call Kaladin sir, and didn't seem to regard him with the same unspoken reverence as the others. That made Kaladin more comfortable with him. Kaladin spent the next hour helping the men, one by one. Most of them were overeager, throwing themselves into their attacks. Kaladin explained the importance of control and precision, which won more fights than chaotic enthusiasm. They took it in, listening. More and more, they reminded him of his old spear squad. That set him thinking. He remembered how he had felt when originally proposing the escape plan to the men. He'd been looking for something to do, a way to fight, no matter how risky, a chance. Things had changed. He now had a team he was proud of, friends he had come to love, and a possibility, perhaps, for stability. If they could get the dodging and armor right, they might be reasonably safe. Maybe even as safe as his old spear squad had been.
That is a worried face.
Kaladin turned as Rock walked up and leaned against the wall near him, folding powerful forearms.
Is the face of a leader, say I, always troubled?
Sadeus will never let us go, particularly not now that we're so prominent.
You said this thing before. We will fight the men he sends after us. We'll seek Cabranth, where there are no slaves. From there, the peaks to my people, who will welcome us as heroes.
We might beat the first group, if he's foolish and sends only a few dozen men. But after that, he'll send more. And what of our wounded? Do we leave them here to die? Or do we take them with us and go that much more slowly?
You are saying that we need a plan.
Yes, I guess that's what I'm saying. Either that, or we stay here, as bridgemen.
Despite new armor, we would die soon. We make ourselves targets. I will talk with Sigsel about this thing. We will think. There must be a way to escape this trap. A way to disappear. A false trail? A distraction? Perhaps we can convince Sadeus that we have died during Bridge Run.
How would we do that?
Don't know. But we will think.
Rock nodded to Kaladin and sauntered off toward Sigsel. The Azish man was practicing with the others. Kaladin had tried speaking to him about Hoid, but Sigsel, typically close-mouthed, hadn't wanted to discuss it.
Hey, Kaladin!
Scar was part of an advance group that was going through Teft's very carefully supervised sparring.
Come spar with us! Show these rock-brained fools how it's really done!
Kaladin waved them down, shaking his head. Teft trotted over, a heavy spear on one shoulder.
Lad, I think it would be good for their morale if you showed them a thing or two yourself.
I've already given them instruction.
With a spear you knocked the head off of. Going very slowly, with lots of talk. They need to see it, lad. See you.
We've been through this, Teft.
Well, so we have.
Kaladin smiled. Teft was careful not to look angry or belligerent. He looked as if he were having a normal conversation with Kaladin.
You've been a sergeant before, haven't you?
Never mind that. Come on, just show them a few simple routines.
No, Teft.
You gonna refuse to fight on the battlefield? Just like that horn eater?
It's not like that.
Well, what is it like?
I'll fight when the time comes. But if I let myself get back into it now, I'll be too eager. I'll push to attack now. I'll have trouble waiting until the men are ready. Trust me, Teft.
You're scared of it, lad.
What? No, I
can see it. And I've seen it before. Last time you fought for someone, you failed, huh? So now you hesitate to take it up again.
Yes.
But it was more than that. When he fought again, he would have to become that man from long ago. The man who had been called Stormblessed. The man with confidence and strength. He wasn't certain he could be that man any longer. That was what scared him. Once he held that spear again, there would be no turning back.
Well, when the time comes, I hope you're ready. Because this lot will need you.